The day had not gone well. Aragorn leaned back in his chair and took a long drink of blackberry mead from the mug by his hand. Sweet warmth blossomed in his throat, and with it, memories of summer afternoons spent picking berries in Palancar Valley. A pang of homesickness struck him. The mead had been the best thing to come out of his meeting with Hruthmund, the dwarven representative, a gift to strengthen the bonds of friendly association between dwarves and riders, or so Hruthmund had claimed. Aragorn snorted, some friendship. He'd spent the whole meeting arguing with Hruthmund over when the dwarves would deliver the supplies they'd promised. Hruthmund seemed to believe once every 3 to 4 months was more than sufficient, which was absurd, considering the dwarves lived closer to the academy than any of the other races. Even Nasawada had managed to send monthly shipments from the other side of the Haderach Desert, far to the west. I'll have to arrange a talk with Oryk and sort it out with him directly. Just one more thing to do, amid a seemingly endless sea of tasks. Aragorn eyed the mounds of scrolls, books, maps, and loose pieces of parchment that covered the desk in front of him, all of which required his attention. He sighed, finding the sight depressing. He shifted his gaze out the large, rough-hewn windows that fronted the eyrie. Rays of evening light streamed across the windswept plains that lay below, surrounding Mount Angor. To the north and west, the Edda River gleamed like a ribbon of beaten silver draped across the landscape. A pair of ships lay docked along the nearest bend, and from that docking, a trail led south to the foothills piled about the base of Angor. The mountain had been Aragorn's choice in consultation with Saphira and their travelling companions for the Dragon Rider's new home. It was more than that, too, a safeguard for the Eldonari and hopefully a nesting ground for the next generation of dragons. The high, slab-sided peak was a trailing remnant of the Beor Mountains, shorter than those towering giants, but still many times bigger than the mountains of the spine Aragorn had grown up with. It stood alone in the green expanse of the eastern reaches, 2 weeks of slow sailing beyond the bounds of Alagasia proper. South of Angor, the land was rumpled like a blanket and ruffled with trees whose leaves shone silver in the wind, bright as the scales of a fish. Farther to the east stood scarps and cliffs and huge flat-topped pillars of stone crested with piles of vegetation. Among them lived groups of wandering tribes, strange, half-wild humans the likes of which Aragorn had never encountered before. So far they had proven no trouble, but he remained wary. Such was his responsibility now. The mountain bore many names. Angor was dwarvish for White Mountain, and indeed the upper thirds were clad in snow and ice, and from a distance the peak glowed with a startling brilliance amid the verdant plains. But it also had an older, secret name in dwarvish. For as the expedition Aragorn led had begun to settle among the foothills of the mountain, they had discovered tunnels burrowed into the stone beneath, and there, in runes, inscribed Gor na Velen, which meant Mountain of Gems. Some ancient clan or tribe of dwarves had sunk mines deep into the roots of the peak. The dwarves who had joined Aragorn's group had been excited by the discovery, and they spent much time debating who had made the mines and what gems might still be found. In the ancient language, the mountain was known as Felthindari, which meant Mountain of Night. The elves could not tell Aragorn where the name came from, nor the reason for it, so he rarely used it. But he also heard them refer to the peak as Veta, or Hope. He found this fitting, as the Dragon Riders were a hope for all the races of Alagasia. The Urgals had their own name for the peak, Ungvek. When Aragorn asked them what it meant, they claimed it was strong-headed, but he wasn't so sure. Then, too, there were the humans. Aragorn had heard them use all of the names interchangeably, as well as refer to the mountain as Horsepike, a term he suspected the traders often used in jest.